So work session, Discovery Fairgrounds Subarea Plan, 30 October, 10:30.
All right, so we'll go ahead and start the work session for the Discovery Fairgrounds Subarea Plan, and Oliver, we'll turn it over to you.
Yes, good morning, Commissioners. Oliver Hodja for Community Planning. Commissioners, what we'd like to do this morning is provide you an overview of what has transpired throughout our effort to do the Subarea Plan for the Discovery Corridor Fairgrounds. What we are seeking is direction. We've provided the board with three options, and Jeff Knighton is going to go over those options. He's the project manager leading that work with the Citizen Task Force to come up with the proposed land use for the area. Often we say, why are we doing subarea planning? I think there's some benefit in doing so. That's when we engage neighborhood organizations and property owners and then other stakeholders to look at a smaller area or within that neighborhood and say what is best land use going forward. We have two maps in front of you. One is the existing comp plan and zoning, and the other is the proposed. So when you look at those two maps, you will agree that very little changed in terms of the two maps, with the exception of one area where they reduced the mixed use, and pretty much everything remains the same. So I'll turn it over to Jeff to walk you through what have happened so far. This has been before the Planning Commission, and they've made a recommendation unanimous to approve. So we would like to complete the project given the direction from the board. Jeff?
Good morning, Commissioners. Jeff Knighton with Community Planning. And Community Planning, and I'm going to walk through kind of the process we went through to reach the recommendations that you have before you. The county in 2007, when we adopted the comp plan, created a Three Creeks Special Planning Area, which of course is no longer in effect now, but this subarea plan was a part of that. It is the second of what was then eight subareas, and we formed a citizens task force in late 2009 to consider these changes. There were residents of the area that were involved, representatives from the amphitheater in the fairgrounds, the neighborhood association there, WashDOT, and Clark Regional Wastewater District. And we met six times with those folks through November of 2009, and presented this to the Planning Commission in... No, it's not working. It was working before. There we go. Through 2009, we presented this to the Board of Commissioners in April of 2010, and at that time we were asked to undertake a project to combine several of the employment zones or do a study on that and combine a couple of the employment zones. When that project was completed, the combination of employment zones, we brought this back to the Planning Commission in early 2012, and the Planning Commission recommended approval of the subarea plan unanimously. It's the second time they heard it. First time the Planning Commission heard it, it had been noticed previously to the public, the public hearing, and that was in between the time we received direction from the board to cease planning. So the Planning Commission heard it in 2010, but didn't make any recommendations. They just heard testimony from the interested citizens. In 2012, it came back to the Planning Commission with a lot of the same citizens testifying again, and the Planning Commission recommended unanimous approval. We brought this to the board at the end of 2012, and at that point, no action was taken, and the board requested that we bring it back again in 2013. So that's what we're proposing to do here. We have several of the maps, both in the PowerPoint and the larger ones there. Those larger maps you have on your table show a little bit more detail. A little bit easier to read and kind of see where the boundaries are delineated. The proposed zoning designations, the only change from what the Citizens Task Force recommended is the small area at the north east corner, that mixed-use portion, and that was in response to citizens' testimony at the board in November 2012, and I've received several letters since and spoken with several of the property owners out there, and their request, both in writing and in person to me, was that if it does have to be changed, the mixed-use is what they would prefer.
Does have to be changed from what?
From rural, correct. Yeah, a lot of the issues surrounding it in the beginning in 2010.
I'm having trouble hearing you.
Oh,
so you talked to that group of the landowners up here that kind of bit up in arms. You testified the other day that we're not listening to them. But you're telling me that they said if they have to change, if they want to change this way.
Yeah, I can't speak for all of them, all of the property owners there, but the ones I have spoken to, the vast majority would prefer, if it has to change, for it to change to MX.
Does that include Mr. Espinoza?
No.
Where is Mr. Espinoza?
Mr. Espinoza is, his piece of property, I believe, is right at...
He's further down.
Yeah, he's a little bit south.
He's on the light industrial line in the employment zone.
Yes. I believe so, yes. And also true, and I don't know if you've talked to him or not, but Mr. Yakim was quite vocal as well in his about aligned with Mr. Espinoza, kind of his ideas for the area. And his property is also generally in the same area. Right.
I need to have you talk directly in your mind.
Sure. So the people that I've spoken with, Mr. Randall Shipp, I'm not sure if you've spoken with him. He's been vocal, and I've been in had conversations with him. MX is what he would prefer if it has to change.
From
rural. I believe it was rural 5 prior to the adoption of the comp plan in 2007.
Rural residential 5.
Yeah.
Yes. That's not what it is now, though.
No.
Current. What is it now?
When it was brought into the comprehensive, brought into the urban growth boundary in September of 07, it changed to
manufacturing.
I believe it was light industrial. It changed to business park. It went from rural 5 to business park in 2007, and the subarea plan proposal from the task force was to change it to leave it as business park. What it currently is, but after testimony in front of the board in November of last year, we made the decision to recommend that as mixed use, because that's what the majority of property owners in that particular area had asked for.
Well, I think the problem that we have is that you really only heard it from George Espinoza, who says he represents the majority of the people, and I'm not sure what places they're talking about, and they were objecting to the whole area between 199th and 209th, and at that time it was Commissioner Bolt and I that was here adopt that on the consent agenda at the request of the property owners. My conversation with But Oliver was, what can we do to allow them to remain or go back to an R5? Because they claimed that we didn't talk to them when we made up the last comprehensive plan. And so he claimed that they didn't know about it, they didn't want to be changed, they don't want to be changed, and want to be put back to R5. So I was wondering if there's a way that we can respect their wishes and maybe hopscotch around them, but still making connecting points by using the west side of the freeway. So, in this area here, Commissioner
York is with George Espinosa.
And that he's a big year. I think they're in this parcelized area down there.
No, I believe 199.
I thought so too, but I think they're saying that he's south of 199.
Yeah, he might have lived there south. He's George might live south of 199 himself, but he was representing the people up here. And the guy that lives right on the northwest corner of 199 is the farmer. Is that what you said? That would be here.
Excuse me, I'm not quite sure the property owner's name at that particular location.
Okay, Commissioner, let me let Chris answer your question in terms of them going back to Rule 5.
Good morning, Commissioners. Chris, I'm in the Attorney's Office, and this is not a time when property can move in or out of the urban growth boundary. It's fairly simple. It can be done at the time of a comprehensive plan update if it is appropriate at that time and meets the criteria, but not now.
And we've told Mr. Espinosa that multiple times. We've told him, you know, and he says, oh, you didn't answer, you haven't answered. We have answered. We've answered multiple times saying there will be an update in 2016. That is the time that you bring that up. If you want to be brought out of the boundary, there are criteria that we have to meet, but that's the time when we would have to have that conversation. And they just, you know, they, I don't think it's the answer he wanted. So he was kind of looking for something different.
Should they be whether or not they're in or out of the urban growth boundary? The question is, what do they want? What do they want their use of their land? How they want it to be zoned?
Rural 5 acre.
Is that possible inside the urban growth boundary?
No.
What is, so basically, they want to stay residential.
Yes.
What's the largest lot size that can be zoned for?
Under GMA, what do you think the largest? No. You can't be a rural 5 acre. You can't be a 5 acre parcel in an urban area. It doesn't meet criteria for urban.
No, it does not.
What's the largest?
Well, I think the largest that we currently have is a half acre. And is that right? We have R120, and that's about a half an acre as a residential property.
And here's the issue. The issue is that this area is part of the Discovery Corridor. The reason that this is all employment zone is because you're between 179 and the Battleground Interchange with a great frontage to be able to have easy access, much like Richfield does, for industry, for people to be able to get on and off, get to jobs. It is a great spot for job development. There are some large parcels, especially north of 199, that don't even have to be consolidated to be able to actually bring in and bring business to the area. So it's a great area for that. The issue is that you have people there that are saying, well, I want to stay there. They can stay there forever at R5. Nobody's going to force them to sell or force them to split it down. But if you start putting large urban residential in that area, you're going to destroy the potential for jobs because you create a conflict.
So what are the choices before us today?
Basically, it's a minimum change, it looks like.
But I have one more question. I wasn't hearing you very well when we were talking about the change that was made, and it went from employment center to mixed use. Why did we do that?
When the sub-area plan was brought back before the board in November of last year, and previous to that, a lot of the testimony, especially from Mr. Shipp, Randall Shipp, was asking for a mixed-use zone because it would offer more options for the property owners there in order to develop rather than just business park. And at that time, the board asked us to make that change.
So that's where Mr. Shipp lives?
Yes.
Does he own all of that?
No. But I have heard from, and I'm going to butcher the family's last name, but Saravalo, I believe. I have received a couple letters from both Mr. and Mrs. Saravalo requesting mixed use as well, and a Mrs. Betty Smith, who also lives in that area. I've received a letter from her.
Is there 8 different owners up there?
I believe so. Either 7 or 8. I believe one family owns 2 parcels.
I would, before we consider changing that, and I would like to talk to you as many as possible before we do that.
Sure.
And I go back to my original request. Is there a way that we could honor the owners of the area between 199th and 209th in some fashion and still move forward with the comp plan, the next comp plan, to make changes? Now, I understand that they have to connect, they have to touch, but can we do like a hopscotch around some of that? And the other request is to show the wetland and wetland buffer that we know. There's a huge wetland area in there.
I didn't bring a larger map for the environmental constraints. I apologize. It is in the packet, however.
Yeah, the Whipple Creek watershed
is
right there.
Okay, yeah. My thinking is that we don't have much buildable land in there. We might think we do.
I'm sorry.
It's a huge flood.
South of 199, it's huge. Especially east of it.
North of 199 is a huge lowland wetland.
Yeah. There's plenty of development.
There's 199th, and then there is some critical areas right here north of 199th, but at least according to our mapping.
Yes.
Is
it G?
It is G.
G. It's, yeah. At least according to our mapping, there's some of it developable. A lot of it hasn't been ground truthed, and you know, somebody go out there and delineate where the wetland boundaries are.
Chris, you have something you were trying to...
Yeah, I was going to respond to Commissioner Melfi's question. I sat through a number of hearings and work sessions at which Mr. Espinosa has testified. Sometimes the neighbors have, sometimes they haven't. My understanding is that what he wants is to be out of the urban growth boundary and in a rural residential 5. We simply cannot do that now. Whatever he was, whatever the property was lawfully before it came into the urban growth boundary, that use can be continued. Nobody is requiring that use stop, but we can't rezone it to a rural use.
Can he sell it as our, you know, can he sell it and can a new owner maintain it in that use? Like,
sure.
Sell his house and acreage?
Absolutely.
Yes.
There you go.
So we can't change that urban growth boundary?
Not now.
Well, it cannot be done.
In the comp plan. Sure, in the comp plan. And when you talk about hopscotching, you know, we would have to see
what it looks like,
what the proposal is. We can't, you know, do it hypothetically now, not knowing. But that is something that can be looked at, certainly, for the next comp plan update.
That's what I'm hoping to honor the landowner the best we can, but to just shut him off is not our intent, my intent. I'm thinking that Mr. Espinosa has influenced the man on the northwest corner who owns a great deal of that, but I'm looking at that. They're also limited buildable land, or we're limited to the uses that we can do because of the headwaters, you might call it, of G Creek. Short of going out there, and I guess we may have to go out and talk to those people individually. I think that they haven't had it explained to them correctly. And that's my guess, listening to Mr. Espinosa.
He's heard it. He just didn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
He told him several times that the 2016 comp plan is the appropriate time for that. He said it, she said it, I've said
it.
We've said it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I've spoken to
him. He doesn't want to hear it.
And that's what we're talking about now, is how we're going to adopt the comprehensive plan and how we're going to make discovery court.
No, that's not what this is. This isn't part of the 2016. That's not what we're just discussing, a small map change for the sub area contained within the 2007 comp plan. This is not the 2016 plan that we're talking about.
We're talking about
making a change in the 2007 budget.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
And commissioners, if I may add, I have spoken with Mr. George Espinoza as well as Steve Yocum. I think their issue are twofold. If the county were to zone them residential, they want to remain in the urban growth boundary. I think what they are objecting to is the employment zone that is on their property now.
Now, I've had lots of conversations with these guys, and it's not just that they want residential, because when we talked about, what does residential look like for you? They're like, we want 5-acre parcels. I'm like, we can't have those in an urban area. And they're like, then we want out. I'm like, that's a comp plan discussion. So it's what they want for residential, they can't have in an urban environment based on this growth management saying you can't have parcels that big for residential in an urban environment. It doesn't meet the test. So you're either out or you're in with smaller lots of residential, which defeats the purpose of having employment, or you have employment which they don't want. So I mean, it's a tough place for them. I mean, they end up wanting to just take them out and kind of work around it. But that's, as we told them, that's something we'll have to work through as we're starting on the comp plan, is how would we do that and still connect? Because you have to have connection. You can't hopscotch. You have to, like Commissioner Milky was saying, you have to have some connection.
Sure.
You can't go, you can't have a break in that.
You have it over here and have it over here.
Right. And you know that. I was just, Commissioner Cornwall.
So, why would we, if we're going to make this change up here now, we might end up changing that, or as we go forward to keep what we'd like to get and honor as many people as we could here, I guess we could do that, but we only talked to 3 of 8 landowners. We need to talk to the majority.
Well, it's actually a really good point from the standpoint of if we do decide in the 2016 plan to try to honor the requests of those landowners to say, we don't want in, we want out of this, which again will be because of the fragmentation of the ownership, say, this person wants in and that person wants in, but this person wants out, it becomes really difficult to figure out, all right, now how the heck do you draw it? But if we're able to honor those, that will change our employment projections. And if we do this, that will change employment projections as well. So before we change that, we might want to actually deal with that area as part of the comp and do everything all at once so that we're matching our jobs numbers.
Commissioner, if I may, the reason that we brought this back, we started in 2009, and it's been in our work program ever since. And we wanted to make sure that we kept the board informed and where the project was.
You're doing the right thing.
We started it. If I had a couple of options laid out, and they're certainly not the only ones, but they're the ones I thought maybe we should take a look at. Option one is to adopt the Planning Commission's recommendation. Option two is to go back and develop a new alternative, either as part of the comprehensive plan adopted in 2007, or depending on the board's desire, we could look at this area again as part of the 2016 update. Right. Everything north of 179th is an urban holding. And then option three is kind of a tangent of option two, is that we look at removing urban holding in phases because this area is a little over not quite 2,100 acres in size.
I thought we were looking at removing and holding north of 199 because of the addition of the 219th interchange. Is that not?
I
thought we did that. Did we not? I know we talked about it.
Back up and review
The traffic projection.
We
did talk about it, but if you recall in that process, there was a request to release urban holding, but it was no.
Right.
Yes, but I think the board backed away. That's my yes.
Can you find out? I don't want to go back away from that.
No, because what would happen is that there were folks along the 179th street corridor, and some folks, so it would leave a little hole, and I think there was some opposition that if you're going to do it, you might as well remove urban holding in the entire area, and I think for those reasons, there were two or three I would say what operators out there like, look like Light Industrial, I don't know their names. That was the request, and we finally said no, because you might as well lift up and hold it for the entire area. That's my recollection.
Can you find out for us, please? I'm trying to dig back in there.
Sure.
I don't know.
I'll find out.
It looks like we're not at this point prepared to adopt anything. There's more and more things to be done. This whole area is not under
North of 179. North of 179.
The majority of it.
It would be good to be able, actually, when we do look at this, I think it's really important that we include the critical lands overlay on there so we can see what actually is buildable and to show where the lines are when it comes to urban building.
Sure.
So that we understand at a glance what this whole area looks like. If the main topic or option today was to talk about that mixed use proposal in the top right corner. I have reservations in that because basically you're taking what would normally be a business park, which normally the best and highest uses for jobs, and turn it into a mix of high density housing mixed in with it. So overall goal for our county, I'd expect the direction a lot of people to move, is independence from Oregon. So we don't have to have high density housing here being a different community before. Whatever we can do to have good jobs here in this county to move in that direction and not move toward away from that to apartments, more consistent with that overall goal of becoming self-sufficient, growing up for their own jobs here.
I too am a little surprised. I talked to her informally with Oliver about using the west side frontage road as part of the Discovery Corridor as possibly needed to go around the landowners that wanted to that did not want to go commercial. There's a whole bunch of mixed use all the way through there, even on 10th Avenue. And I thought that would kind of be, I'm not sure what, I'd like to go back, I guess, and refresh my memory of what we can do in the mixed use.
Because it is broader than, like, when you think of mixed use, because I actually, before I was a commissioner, I was on the mixed use advisory group, and then I actually became a commissioner as it came, came to fruition as it came to the commission. And the whole purpose of it, and we had a lot of the development community and banking community and others involved in the process, was to look at mixed use that's different from what you would think of. It's not just storefront with apartments on top. It's more of a mix of uses, saying, okay, well, what if I have a big pad? Can I have a mix of a little bit of residential and a little bit of commercial and a little bit of business park? Can I mix the uses and have better flexibility within that? And that was the goal of what we did in the mixed use ordinance for the county, was to do something that wasn't so urban in nature, because it doesn't fit, most stacked mixed use doesn't fit in a lot of areas. It wouldn't fit in a lot of these areas. So it was more of mixed use as a flexible tool for developers to say, okay, well, what fits best and can I mix those uses to make it fit best? But that's why I think there's more mixed use in this area.
So, my personal request is, I don't want to rely on Mr. Espinosa's record of who's in and who's out. I've been to a couple
and you go to the options
meetings out there, and I think that more people than not would disagree with Mr. Espinosa. I'd like to know where they are, and so I'm thinking that I don't know if you do it by letter form or face to face. There's not that many, and sometimes face to face you get a better answer. For example, the man on the northwest corner that I referred to before, he's an elderly person, and he just told George, well, whatever you want to do is fine. And I don't think he understands the difference.
I,
nice.
So
I'd be happy to go out and talk to those folks.
That's I agree with you guys on this. So I think we would be switching direction a little bit instead of dealing with this as a sub area implementation of the sub area from the 2007 plan. It's looking forward as we're looking at the 2016 plan, maintaining our jobs focus, and so there are concerns with switching to a mix of uses or mixed use because there may be a draw away from that jobs focus in that area, but also starting to do the work not only with the landowners that were asking, maybe not all of them, for a change, but also with Mr. Espinoza and working with those folks to figure out what might a map look like in that area. Is there a way to draw it or redraw it that would satisfy the wishes of Mr. Espinoza and his neighbors and still have a connected urban area and not have it be a patchwork quilt going up? And then we'd be building for the 2016 plan, and then Mr. Espinoza and his neighbors know, hey, okay, they're doing something about this since we're getting started on it.
I kind of visualize also the west side of the freeway. That if we're going to have a mixed use, then it would be off of the corridor like we have down here on 179. So the corridor is a heavier employment area. And the same over on the west side, if we have a mixed use, it would be back beyond the frontage that the businesses would be viewed from the freeway. So if they could view it from the freeway, then they could know that they're there, so they have exposure for businesses.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think it was the idea was to try to blend up into and away from the business zone. But I see what you're saying. It's like trying to blend away from higher job uses to lower and that way as well.
If I can summarize just my understanding, what we're going to do is gather information for this area from the people that own the property there and live there and use that information to inform the 2016 comp plan. And we're not going to worry right. about the summary.
That's all right.
It would really help us when we go back and say, I don't think Mr. Espinoza represents as many people right. as he implies.
Okay.
And it's really good to know where they're located.
Sure.
But the hope is that if we can integrate this into the 2016 plan, and if we change our, we've got this, our updated concurrency standards, we have updated CFP, capital facilities plan, and other pieces of the transportation infrastructure puzzle as well, that we get to that 2016 timeline, we have an updated map that satisfies the wishes of the property owners as much as possible, maximizes the employment potential, and is open for business, isn't put into holding. That we actually have a plan that takes care of the infrastructure as well. So it would be nice to have all of that rolling out together.
I agree. That's why we're presenting you with option two, requiring us to do more work, engaging the property owners out there, and then as part of that, look at the possibility of releasing urban holding. Conjunction with the work.
I'm not hearing that we want a new advisory task force, though. I mean, this is more about this is just us going and talking to landowners. And I mean, the Economic Development Action Team is an internal team of folks that, as we're reviewing this and looking at are we maximizing business potential, and that makes sense to have them at least talking about it. But I'm loath to start a new advisory task force unless there's a real specific reason for it. And seems like we'd be just as well served as talking to people and seeing what they want.
There are many ways that we can engage. I'm not sure that the task force is still, when they completed their work, I think they dissolved. I think we can have open house, however we want to do it, or send property owners letters. We have different options that we can use to engage them. I think an open house or series of open house gathering information on their desire with the map, I think that would probably be very sufficient. We're not really thinking about forming another group because I think the previous group have already dissolved.
Yeah. Well, we're a little bit concerned with sending letters and not getting a face-to-face contact because I think for many times people who are not engaged in
zoning don't understand it, and so therefore they call up George, because George got this letter, and
yes.
I've been working periodically with the people who live out there for 3 years. I have a reasonable relationship with most of them.
At least
they know me, so I'd be happy to speak.
It would really be neat to be able to color code a little map here and do the less intrusive impact or the comprehensive thing.
Can do
okay.
That.
And this is a little bit related to our, what do you call it, census preference within another area, in that we have the tools to individually get the feedback from each of the lot owners there and make sure that they understand what their potential choices are of their preferences, and then be able for us to be able to light up so that we can understand at a glance what's their preference look like, and also see what we can. There's really kind of an interaction here, because the dog can chase the tail on this thing. Because first of all, casting the vision, understanding the importance of this jobs corridor, this economic development corridor, is something that I think we need to be able to make sure that we understand ourselves what the potential is here, and the importance and the appropriateness of this being a place of employment, a strong, where it's worth our while in investing in the infrastructure out there. Because we get this so wrong by, you know, we got mixed use here, mixed use there, and so all this infrastructure improvement, everybody ends up saying, well, I get the freeway right there, and why don't you go in there to Portland and add all that extra traffic across the bridge to come back here and really shot ourselves in the foot when moving this opportunity we have to do the exact opposite here. So we need to make sure we get this right. I'm very interested to get up to speed. There's a lot of history behind this that I'm not tuned into yet, that I want to become your best friend here.
Okay.
You mentor every student to understand the potential of getting this right and making sure that we do whatever we can to maximize jobs and to make sure we understand at least what the purpose of the owners are out there. And so much has to do with this, with what's buildable, what's critical lands, where our major infrastructure investments would pay off for the jobs, and making sure that the citizens understand those options as well. Because what they see today is maybe their imagination needs to be pulled in a little bit with what could be 10 years from now. So bottom line on that, I hope to get up to speed and to be involved in this, because if we're going to champion jobs, that means that somehow we participate in too much more than we are now.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right. So do you have a direction that you need on us?
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. Thanks for giving us the update on it. Appreciate all the work. You know, certainly this is something we set in motion a while ago, but I think it fits very well in the path forward for the comp plan. I think that we have a good direction to go with it. So we'll look forward to hearing back from you as to how we're going to be getting a hold of landowners and what interactions we're going to have and how we can line up the map so that we have a good understanding of what kind of the parcel by parcel desires are as well. So,
sounds good.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
You see, I have a map like sitting beside my